Well, you notice the moving of the furniture. You know, it's amazing. God's wonderful, wonderful plan. Now, I know I haven't told the pastor this, but I was going to call him Thursday morning because on Wednesday evening, when neither one of us knew what was happening to the other, he was on his way to the hospital, and the Lord was speaking to me about some things that I could call him as a sermon that I would give him, pass on to him that he could preach. Little did I know that I would get the phone call from Camille. But it's great to be a part of the family of God, is it not?
Amen.
Amen. Now, most of you know, because we've already been reminded, that this is Mother's Day, right? Now, I haven't really seen a lot of roses, haven't seen a lot of carnations, but the red rose is symbolic of the living mother, and of course the white in memory of the deceased mother. Now, I would suppose, just thinking, that most likely none of you need any flowers to remind you of your mother, do you? No. As a matter of fact, most mothers are unforgettable, right? In more ways than one, I would say. You see? Most of us have some special memories. As a matter of fact, someone has said that every mother is remarkable, and indeed they are. Every mother is remarkable. And the good news is this morning you are here because you had what? A mother. That's right. You had a mother. And this morning, as we think about Mother's Day, there was a lady by the name of Ann Jarvis who lost her mother May 9th of 1905. Now, as a result of that death, she began to have a memorial service every year. And each year she would remind other sons and daughters and say, you know, have a memorial service, remember your mom. And then she also wrote letters to influential people in her state as well as to Washington, D.C. So by 1913, it is said that the state of Pennsylvania agreed, and so did the U.S. Congress, that they would recognize a day in May to celebrate mothers or celebrate moms. And many countries follow this. So this morning, as we think about it, you know, say, well, Ann Jarvis? How many of you have heard of Ann Jarvis? A few. Well, you know, way before she even came on the scene, and long before Congress or Pennsylvania ever decided to honor mothers, mothers were already being recognized. Did you know that? Recognized the very influential people in their homes, their communities, and even in their churches and to their God. It is said that Abraham Lincoln made the statement, he said that all I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And then there was Oliver Cromwell, who was a great statesman and also a general in the English army in the 16th century. And he is said to have mentioned the fact that no other member of his family, neither his wife or father, influenced him as did his mother. So mothers have always had an impact in our world from the very beginning, right? As a matter of fact, we all got started through Eve, right? Yes, mothers have always played an important part, an influential role in history of our nation and of our world. See, mothers are an integral part of the plan of the home and society. I'm going to say that again. Mothers are an integral part of God's plan for the home and for society. Now, I'm going to say something here. The context of motherhood is the home. Did you hear what I said? The context of motherhood is the home. That is, a man and a woman who lives or whose lives have been joined together in marriage with the purpose of mutual support. Mutual support. See, God's plan was for the woman to give birth in a setting where she would have mutual support, in a setting where she would have the help and support of somebody who loves her. Motherhood was never intended to be an independent business. Did you hear what I said? Motherhood, young people, listen to me, was never intended to be independent business. It was always God's plan that it be a corporate venture. This means that God's plan for motherhood is the work of mature women and not that of developing children. Did you hear what I said? It is the work of mature women, not of developing children. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? And why are you mentioning these facts on Mother's Day when we should be celebrating Mother's Day? Well, what I want to tell you, the reason I'm seeking to bring these points out is so that hopefully we may better understand that God's plan of motherhood is best. God's plan of motherhood is best. Now, see, you ask any single mom who's seeking to support her children, herself, provide food and clothing, being the role or sole disciplinarian, the counselor for them, trying to raise her children. Just ask her. And then you talk to that 15-year-old high school girl about her fears, her frustrations, and the limitations on her life as a mother in high school. But Pastor, don't you know there's multitudes of women out there having to support their family? They have the sole responsibility of caring for their children and making a living for themselves as well. Listen, I do know that. And you know what? I also know that far too many young ladies in high school are becoming pregnant and becoming mothers way too early. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you mentioning this? I'm mentioning it not to hurt anyone, not to embarrass anyone, but to simply help us to see that God's plan is better than our own. God's plan is the best plan. The best plan. You see, the principle of motherhood, and that's what we want to think about for a few moments, is the principles that help mothers. And they can be applied to all mothers, regardless of whether they have a loving and supporting husband, or whether they happen to be a single lady trying to support her children alone. You see, these principles can be applied. And these principles will help make it possible. For I can promise you on the basis of God's word that these principles, when incorporated into the home and life, will bring both health and happiness to that home. See, on the authority of God's word, I promise you that if you will simply allow God to help and guide you in this matter, help you to develop the principles that I am going to mention here in a moment from God's word, that you'll be a better mother. Those of you who are mothers, and some of you are going to be talking to others, you'll be a better mother. As a matter of fact, these are principles not just for mamas, but daddies too. Daddies too. For all of us, as a matter of fact. Now I want you to listen as I read from Exodus, the second chapter. Exodus chapter 2 is a story of a mother and her son. It said, now a man, chapter 2, verse 1, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, isn't that amazing? A beautiful son. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child inside it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids, and they brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him, just like a mother. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called his mama. No, it didn't say mama, it said mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, that is to Jochebed, "Take away this child and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Out of the water. Jochebed. How many of you have heard of Jochebed? Oh, a few. Well, now you've heard of it, right? Jochebed. Well, I want to mention to you the fact that number one principle is that it takes faith and courage to be a mama. Okay? Faith and courage. Now, see, this was a special time in the life of the Hebrew people because they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves, literally slaves. And the thing that was happening was that they were having far more children than the Egyptians. And it was becoming dangerous for the Egyptians, at least that's the way they understood it, because they thought, wow, you know, if these Hebrew boys continue to grow up and become soldiers, they'll join with our enemies. And so the Pharaoh just said, "We got to stop this." And so he first tried to use the midwives to stop and kill the babies. But then that didn't work, so then he just put out the order. He said, "Kill all baby boys. Kill all baby boys from the Hebrew people." It was dangerous for a baby to be born at that time. And it was dangerous to try to protect that baby. But that's exactly what Jochebed did. She protected that child. And see, it took courage to do that. It took faith to do that. You see, she knew that any moment that that child could be snatched away from her and killed, literally killed. But she had the courage to protect that baby, and we'll talk a little more about that in a moment. But you see, she wanted to make sure that child had the opportunity to grow up to be a man. It's dangerous to be a mother today. Do you know that in some countries like China, they have a one-child law? You've probably been reading a little bit in the news about the blind attorney. You see, he was under house arrest because of his fight against the one-child law. See, in China, they have what they call forced abortion. We just have liberal killing here sometimes. But you see, they have forced abortion. Some of you may have heard of John Holdren. John Holdren happens to be the science czar in the current administration. Now, in 1970, he co-authored a book with a couple. One of the issues that was presented was that for population control, forced abortion and permanent sterilization. There are other dangers. There are other dangers for mothers as they face raising their children. You see, a child may be born with a birth defect. We've known that, haven't we? That certainly calls for a great challenge and faith. And then a child may be permanently injured or killed in an auto accident. A child may become addicted to alcohol or some other drug. And you know what? A child may advance on a life of crime. You see, we never know what may happen. But I want to tell you, just like Jochebed, that a mother needs to have courage and faith to handle the difficult situations of life. I know a mother right now who's having to deal with the fact that her son killed his wife and he's in prison. That takes some kind of courage to be able to deal with that. And we never know what the future holds. But listen, mothers, you need courage and faith. And number two principle is you need to see potential. Potential in the child that you have born. You see, Jochebed saw something special in that little boy. As a matter of fact, says that she saw him as being beautiful. Beautiful. In other words, she saw him as a little baby, not to be oohed or a toy, to be oohed and awed over. You know, so often, it's almost like a baby is a toy. They're not a toy. They're a person. They're a person. And you see, he was a child, as she understood it, was special. And he had a special future. That's what she saw in that little baby's face, a special future. And he must be protected at all costs, cared for, so that he may fulfill his destiny. Did Jochebed know what his destiny was? Do you think she did? No, the Bible was written after her. You see, she just knew that there was something special about that little baby, and she wanted to make sure he had a chance to arrive at his destiny that God had for him. See, she could see him becoming somebody special, not just another slave to the Egyptians. He was special. I want to ask you a question, young mother. What do you see in that round little face? What do you see in that little face? Oh, listen, it is an absolute imperative. And those of you who have raised children, you know what I'm talking about, that you as a mother see in that face and in that child potential to be something great, something special. And you're going to do everything possible, to make sure they develop their full potential. Potential. You must have the principle of seeing the potential. And also, there must be the principle of action. The principle of action. Now, what about this during this time when it was so dangerous to be a mother? You know, Pharaoh had put out the order. He said, now, let's kill all the baby boys. Well, I wonder how many, maybe Hebrew women, said, you know what? What am I going to be able to do about it? So they probably are singing the song, whatever will be with me. You know, lazy fair mama. Not Jochebed. Oh, no. It was not going to be whatever will be. It's going to be what I seek to make possible. That's what Jochebed decided. See, Jochebed did everything she could to protect that little boy to start with. She probably hid him under the bed. I don't know. But she tried to keep him quiet for 3 months. And after 3 months, he was just too strong on the lungs, and she knew that he was going to be found. So what did she do? She had another plan of action, and she was wise. So she made this basket, covered it over with tar, and made sure that it was waterproof, placed that little boy in, and then took it out by the River Nile. Placed it in the reeds so that it would be kind of stationary, at least to some degree. And there was intelligence and there was risk involved in this. What do I mean? Well, it took intelligence to realize that she'd probably already had some intelligence out there, knew that Pharaoh's daughter came around that spot. And so she wisely placed that child where she thought that it would be, he would be picked up by somebody special. But also there was risk. Because, see, she didn't really know for sure that somebody else might come by. Maybe one of the soldiers of Pharaoh, and find that baby boy and kill him. But she had another plan, and that plan was Miriam. Some of you may have heard of Miriam. That's his sister. And so she had her out there watching, making sure what was taking place. Just in case, you know, a little wave bumped that basket and moved it out into the river, she could catch it. Or if the wrong person came. So she planned and she executed the plan. You see, she was not one that would just put that baby out in that little ark and let it just float down the river. Oh no, leaving it to chance? Not Jochebed. She was a lady of planning and a lady of action. She took action. Took action. You know, mothers today also, I am convinced, must exercise plans of action, the principle of action. You see, simply allowing the forces around your children to do the influencing factor is certainly opportunity for trouble. I'll tell you something. If you're going to leave it up to the Boys and Girls Club, you're going to leave it up to the educational system, you're going to leave it up to the church alone, leave it up to others, it's asking for trouble. See, as a mother, there has to be action. Safeguard, if you will. Safeguard. I know children, and I happen to be one at one time, resist safeguards, don't we? We resist. But you see, safeguards must be taken to protect the well-being of our children, to protect their minds, their bodies, and their souls, their future, if you will. You see, sometimes we must take action. Action that clearly says, I know best. How many of you mothers know what I'm talking about? I know best for my child at this point in life. They may not understand it, may not agree with me, but I know best. And they must take action. Hesitation can lead to real disaster. That might mean turning off the TV. May mean monitoring what is on TV. Could very well mean correcting improper behavior. It may mean establishing a study plan that includes math. It may very well mean discipline that includes the word no. Can you believe it? Yeah, that's right. It may. Now, I want to ask you moms a question. How many of you would allow your baby, when crawling, to go into a dark room that has wooden floors and known to have splinters protruding up and most likely black wood of spiders crawling around? Now, how many of you would do that? None of you, right? Oh, I know there are times. But the truth is, you want to protect your child, right? Well, why in the world are we not also interested in protecting them from the dangers that they may encounter in some of the things around them? See, we must be just as vigilant as mothers concerned about their physical well-being, also concerned about their mental and also spiritual well-being. You see, we must, as parents, and I say as parents, and I say mothers. You know, I haven't met too many mothers. I know I read in the paper, just like you do, about mothers who something's up here is wrong. But most mothers love their children. And most mothers want to see the very best for their children. They may not always know how to bring it about, but that's what they want. They want the best. So principle number four is redeeming the time. That is using wisely the time that you have with your children. See, Jochebed was this little boy's mama. But because of what was happening, she wasn't the one that supposedly was going to raise him. But she was willing, even though she did not have official approval at that point to have a little boy, she was willing to become the nanny for her son. And as a result of that, she recognized that her time was limited because, see, Pharaoh's daughter had said, now when the time comes, I'm going to take him back. So what does Jochebed do? As his mother, she does nurse him, she does care for him, and she does everything possible to plant in his mind and heart who really he truly is and the kind of person he should become. She was willing to give her very best to that little boy for the time that she had available so that he may become the best. See, she knew one day she was going to have to give that little boy up, and he would be known as the Pharaoh's daughter's son, not her son. But do you know what she was willing to do? She was willing to give her very best to that little boy so that he may become, and he did become, one of God's best. Do you know that? Moses. That was the little boy. See, this principle is vital. Redeeming the time, taking advantage of the years. How many years do we have as mamas? 17, 18, that's the very most. Usually it's over before that as far as the influencing factor. And you must give your best to instilling the values of life and faith. Life and faith. See, you must help them understand the value of the principles of God's word for them personally. And you do that as you set the example by being in God's house and taking them with you. Because then they see the value of how important it is to you. Let the church help you. Let the church help you. I know there are many people saying, well, hey, I can do it all on my own. No, you can't. You need to be encouraged along the way. So encouragement comes from the house of God, from the people of God. Motherhood is a great responsibility. And yet, you know what? God entrusted you. Can you believe that? That God literally entrusted you, mothers, with that precious little boy or girl? Sure, motherhood involves risks and great challenges and sometimes great fear. But your child is worth it. Your child is worth it. Worth it all. Now, I want to tell you something. You most likely, I know you think you are, but you most likely won't be a perfect mom. Not likely to be a perfect mom. But if you will simply allow God to guide and help you, I promise you, you will be a good mother. You will be a good mother. And then one day, when your life on earth is over and you enter heaven, won't it be great, Mom? Won't it be great to hear the Lord say, well done. Well done. Faithful mother, gracious and mighty God, I thank you for every mother here. I thank you for every mother that has given birth. And Lord God, this morning, I just want to thank you and praise you for your love, your tenderness in allowing us to share in the lives of our mothers. Now, Lord, bless this time. And oh God, help us to apply the principles of your truth, your righteousness in our lives. In the precious and the mighty name of Jesus, I pray.